We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. There are countless films about the Civil War, from Gangs of New York to Lincoln to Glory. Our nation's bloodiest war continues to offer plenty of stories to tell.
But a lesser-known story happened 2 decades before the war began. Nat Turner's slave rebellion in Southampton County, Virginia in 1831 lasted barely 48 hours, but was a decisive moment in setting the stage for the future war between the states. The rebellion sparked a national conversation about slavery and bolstered the nascent abolitionist movement.
A new film by Nate Parker, Birth of a Nation, tells the story of Nat Turner up to the time of the rebellion. It opens in theaters today, and film contributor Dave Lurson chatted with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.
White lawmen stop a black man, demand identification, and unsatisfied by what he produces, violence commences. It sounds like a case for Black Lives Matter, but the incident near the start of the Birth of a Nation is drawn from the historical reality of the Old South, where patrols stopped slaves deemed to be in the wrong place. The current headlines have a long backstory rooted in slavery and the endemic racism of early American society.
Dave Larson, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Always good to be here, Audrey.
The Birth of a Nation, the new film by Nate Parker, surrounds the little-known Nat Turner's Rebellion. It was a very bloody ordeal that was kind of stifled and trampled down by the aftermath and kind of was lost in the history of the Civil War overall because it was a couple decades before the actual war commenced. But overall, what were your thoughts on this movie?
Well, it was a big story at the time it happened. It sent waves of apprehension throughout the South. It achieved a lot of commentary in the North, many people condemning the violence while understanding the motivations behind this revolt. It was probably, depending how you measure it, the biggest slave revolt in the United States. And the history questions about this movie are pretty interesting because there is artistic license here, particularly the climactic fight scene where armed gangs of white people and black people converge. Never happened as far as I can tell, but much of it is pretty true to the conditions of the time and the particular incidents of the rebellion. One really important point, there's a military officer who's in charge of putting down the rebellion. He rescues Nat Turner at one point from a lynch mob and basically says, you know, we're going to hang him, but, you know, give him to me. And this reflects something that could have been another movie altogether, the trial of Nat Turner. He really was put on trial. He was given a court-appointed defense attorney, as were some of his co-conspirators. And the trial happened, and he was convicted and hung. But the planter aristocracy, of which that military commander was a part, they were determined to prevent absolute chaos and mayhem from breaking out. They were afraid that the poor whites of the district would rise up and loot and burn and pillage and basically massacre all of their slaves, which would be a great economic loss to them. So they wanted to have an orderly legal procedure in place, and they put their foot down and suppressed, you know, further kinds of lynch mob violence.
Even though some of that did resurface, and as you mentioned, with artistic license, it also left out some of the, well, I mean, all the acts were very violent and heinous, but the rebellion also murdered the plantation's women and children.
Yes, it was not a nice occurrence. It was not a nuanced rebellion, I suppose, where you would carefully pick out people to assassinate, the people who caused you the most harm. It seems to have been an upwelling of hateful emotion, which can well be understood under the circumstances, but it certainly wasn't carefully directed.
That leads into my next question. Nate Parker was the lead actor who played Nat Turner. He was also a co-writer and directed this film. So what did you think of these three roles, and did any of them stand out or do better than the other?
Well, this is a project very close to his heart, obviously. He took a lead role in all of those areas, the acting, writing, and, of course, directing it. And he was responsible for raising money for this movie. So one of the things that's remarkable about this film is that he was able to raise, I think it was $10 million from investors, and he was able to use that to make a very capable, I would say, state-of-the-art Hollywood-style movie complete with dramatic orchestrations at the, you know, thrilling moments and so on. I think it's a great achievement, and it's a sign that, indie filmmaking in America can take on bigger topics than it often does. We have, you know, dozens and dozens of, relationship-oriented, you know, indie films every year. I'm personally getting tired of seeing them, and this to me was very refreshing that someone on, that level of the industry would want to address something that's very important.
And I think he added a nice balance to showing the grit of the South, you know, something that's maybe overemphasized in other Civil War movies or other movies centered around slavery. But he also had really nice cinematography that showed also the beauty of the South.
The natural beauty. Yeah, it's a beautiful landscape. I mean, he did a fine job of directing the film, no doubt about that.
As you mentioned, it's a passion project for him. He spent about 8 years working on this. But at the same time, it doesn't feel cheap, but also felt personal and had great reviews when it premiered at Sundance. And do you think this is a trajectory of Oscar nods to come, because it was picked up by distributors at a record for Sundance?
Well, I would hope it would be considered for an Oscar in several categories. Whether it will win or whether it would deserve to win, from my point of view, remains to be seen, because a whole raft of Oscar contenders remains to be released, yet they all come out in one huge clump in the last few months of the year. So there will be competition for it. I think that this film, Birth of a Nation, is noteworthy as part of what is a growing trend, after all, of Black stories populated by a Black cast and, in some cases, directed by Black people. Queen of Katwe right now, a story about a Ugandan girl who becomes a chess champion, is part of this movement, too. I think that, we are seeing some changes in the Hollywood industry, a greater openness toward the stories of people who are normally been ignored in Hollywood.
Despite this change in Hollywood, do you think that Hollywood money would maybe dilute some of that message? You know, this was an independent film. It was Nate Parker's passion project. He was able to control it. But if Hollywood does take on these types of films, these themes, do you think it might not be as good had it been an independent production?
Very possibly. Many things could have been compromised in some way or other. Yes, you raise an extremely important point that a person with a personal vision should try to maintain control over that vision as much as possible. And in the way that Hollywood works, this is sometimes difficult, especially if you're to them an unknown person coming out of left field. I mean, here you are. You have no track record in Hollywood. Who are you to tell us, you know, how to spend our money on your movie, basically? So yeah, that will be a problem. I do sense a greater appetite for Hollywood to go in these directions, though. And I think it will take some tough and resourceful directors and screenwriters to put their feet down as much as possible and not allow the stories to be compromised. It had a very terrible effect on American society, because the renewed Ku Klux Klan of the late teens and early 1920s did a great deal of harm. They were, you know, they had, you know, millions of members, no exaggeration, and including in places in the North. So a lot of damage was done by this film. Nate Parker is directly addressing this legacy. He is essentially trying to set the message of the original Birth of a Nation on its head by showing the other side of this, that Black people, if they were angry, had a very good reason to be. The worst thing I think about D.W. Griffith's movie was the crude racism, the subhuman portrayals of the African American characters in the movie. And here we see African Americans in the new Birth of a Nation as fully developed human beings.
At the same time, do you think he strikes a good balance between the Black characters as slaves and the white actors as the plantation owners?
Well, I think that, the major white characters in this movie are sympathetic to some degree. But, you know, the Nat Turner of this movie, anyway, was fortunate in terms of the time for who owned him. I mean, as you could see, by the other neighboring slave owners were far, far worse. And so I think the balance was fine. I mean, you know, some of the white people in this movie look really degenerate, but then again, some of them really were at that time. If you think of the slave trade and the people who enforced that directly, it's some of the most ugly characteristics of human nature surfaced.
Another thing this film, I think, handles in a perhaps a more tasteful way, you know, it is kind of a religious epic, and it's something that's different in its handling of violence. Did you think it showed it in a reasonable way? I mean, you can't deny that this happened in history, but with some movie makers' approach to violence and depicting that, it can either shock you in a good way or completely offset the audience.
Well, I don't think there was anything exploitative about the way that Nate Parker handled this. The violence, to me, from my readings in the history of the era, seems legitimate, realistic, and integral to the story, whereas a Quentin Tarantino movie, whatever fine motivations he may have had behind doing that, I think that exploitative violence is almost inescapable from that particular director.
With the conversation this sparks, the parallels it draws, 8 years in the making in the recent chronicles of police violence towards black men, do you think this movie adds constructive conversation about protests and violence?
Well, I think, as I said, it shows that there is a history for it, and if you understand the history for it, you begin to see the reasons behind the Black Lives Matters movement and the response by African Americans to what they see as an ongoing pattern going back centuries of police brutality. So I think it does help frame the discussion, because most people are not historians of the Old South of the pre-Civil War era, and maybe all of us should be more so. If we were, we might actually understand, why the United States is the way it is today and where our problems came from. They didn't just pop up during the past 2 years. These are long-standing issues, and I think this movie does a pretty good job of uncovering that to a popular audience.
The film does do that, but it's also perhaps getting diluted by all the attention Nate Parker is getting in the media for a sexual assault scandal brought up from his time as a student at Penn State in 1999. Parker was later acquitted of these charges, but his roommate and also the co-writer was found guilty before his verdict was overturned. And this is constantly coming up, and it's causing some people to boycott the movie. Is this movie worthy of looking past a director?
Well, I think we should always look past the personal lives of artists and look at the work that they do. My favorite example is Pablo Picasso, the willing recipient of the Stalin Prize. He was very happy to keep company with one of the worst heinous people of the 20th century, and yet he was a great artist, and no one thinks that Guernica's painting should be diminished because of his bad political ideas, or his conduct in life, for that matter. And I think the same thing holds true here. I have no way of knowing the guilt or innocence of Nate Parker in this, but even assuming the worst, I think we need to look at the work he has done as a filmmaker and not allow anything in his personal life to eclipse that.
What thoughts or feelings did you walk away with after the credits rolled?
Well, it is, I think, a brutal movie to watch in some ways, but well worth watching because it does do a very good job of illuminating many situations that not just happened, 150 years ago, but are still, affecting attitudes in our society today. So I left there feeling like, well, that was 2 hours well spent of my time. I don't often feel that way leaving movies. I may feel maybe 60 minutes of the 2 hours were well spent and the other half were wasted. Here I had a very good feeling about this film that everything in there was significant and meaningful, even if not every incident was historically true down to the last dot at the end of the sentence.
Well, hopefully we'll be seeing more of these well-made films, and I'll be happy to have you back to talk about them.
Well, always happy to come back.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay.
Film contributor Dave Lurson is the arts and entertainment editor at the Shepherd Express and the author of its I Hate Hollywood blog. This month, he spoke about the new film Birth of a Nation out in theaters today.